page Samach Dalet and Tap. And Samach Dalet on Tap in the words of the words of the Alter Rebbe. He's explaining the pasuk in Yeshaya and Nari. Shakal b'pelas harim u'gvoris b'maznayim, the two madregas of mountains and hills, harim and gvoris. And last week we were talking about the madrega of gvoris, of hills, which is the madrega of the imahos that are makabel from the mountains, that receive from the mountains the avos. And in avoda, gvoos, the hills, equal the madrega of ahava, the chitzonius halev, when a person's love for Hashem is based upon tam vidas, understanding, contemplating, meditating, and thinking, and so on, together with avoda in Torah and mitzvahs, that attaches the person to the Evarim Kivyochel of the king. But these Evarim are still the Evarim HaChitzonim. This is called Chitzonius HaHavle, external, outer love. Whereas Torah is the Bechina of Evarim HaPnimim, compared to mitzvahs. And therefore, Talmud Torah is connected Kulam. Still, this is not the highest madrega of Ahava. The highest madrega of Ahava is the Ahava that's compared to mountains. That's where we're up to. And we're coming to the end of the Maimer. Aval b'chinas u'madregas harim. The b'china, the madrega of mountains. Heim b'chinas harim ha'gevoyim. Great and high mountains. Harim gevoyim. Shehi b'chinas ahava shalamalam min hatam v'das, the highest love of a Jew that transcends tam and das, understanding, reason, logic, higher than the avoda, even than the avoda that comes with his hisbonimus that we were talking about. Shalamalam b'chinas Torah mitzvahs. It's higher than Torah mitzvahs. Because the Raisa Michachma Navkas, the Efshalagiel Elaha, Aide Torah mitzvahs, Kim Aide Tshuvami Umkadaliba, Shalamalam Anadaz. This Madrega of mountains, which is Ahava that comes Mipnimius Alev, not the outer heart, but the inner point of the heart, rises like a mountain above reason, above logic. It rises even higher than Torah mitzvahs, because Torah itself comes from the higher Bechina of Chachma, of Koachma, of Bittel, which is higher than reason and higher than logic. And therefore, even with meditating and even with Torah mitzvahs, a person cannot climb that highest mountain of Ahava Pnimius Alev. So how does one get to the mountaintop? So Rabbi says, Ki im aidei tshuva mi'um kedaliba. Tshuva mi'um kedaliba. Everything else, plus, of course, everything else must be in place. But to reach the mountaintop, it's only through tshuva mi'umka d'liba. Great tshuva from the depths of the heart. Mi'umka d'liba shalamalam hadas, that is higher than das. And that tshuva mi'umka d'liba from the deepest point of the heart, that obviously, as we've been learning until now, corresponds to the sound of the shofar, the scream from the nekudah pnimi shebelev, that is able to make that connection with the Schiris Abris, as we've been learning, to make that connection to Kivyachal himself, to the Infinite One himself. That comes through Tshuv Mi'umka Deliba Shalmal Mahadas. That comes from that feeling of Machmas Rechuka Mi'or Panav Yisbarach, from that feeling that the person has of how far he's drifted away from Hashem Yisborach. Machmas v'chukah me'or ponav Yisborach, that he's so far from the light of Hashem's face. She'oz, and then with that feeling of being broken and bitter, she'oz mirochek davka Hashem nearly, davka, the pasuk says, mirochek Hashem nearly, from far away, Hashem appeared to me. When the person's far awayness breaks his heart and removes all of the outer encasements and coverings, and it brings it to that inner point of who the person is. Then it could be Meirochek Davka Hashem Nirali, because of that feeling of distance, because of that feeling of Rochek Hashem Nirali. Vizo Inyan Pelas. Now in the Pasuk in Navi, the Navi said, "V'shakal bepeles harim Hashem weighs or measures with a peles, some type of a scale, mountains, and the gavos with moznaim, also type of a balance or a scale." So the Rebbe explains, "Mizo inyan peles." What is the meaning of this thing called a peles? That Hashem weighs the mountains or measures the mountains with a peles. Now we're learning that in Pnimius, harim means the highest madrega of a havas Hashem that comes from the Pnimius Alev, that's able to come into contact kivyachal with the Infinite One Himself. It's higher than Tam Vedas, and it's higher than Torah Mitzvahs. So what is the meaning of this being measured with this type of a scale? What is this? V'zeh inyan peles. Perish shehu ha-mishkal shel eitz aruch u'ritzuas tulyin b'reishai shekaren bezmin shesham shayklin es adavah hanitan bay. The Rebbe explains that in Tanakh, the meaning of this type of a scale is a peles is a mishkal shel eitz. It's a piece of wood, a long piece of wood, a mishkal shel eitz aruch, and it has ritzuas tlin bereishai, that has straps, some ritzuas hanging down, shesham shayklin es hadavah hanitan bay. And with this, you tie on the thing, and you weigh the thing that you'd like to weigh. And because of the length of the piece of wood, because of its length, it can be machriya, it can be used as a measure of weight, the wood itself, because it's long, it can be used as a counterweight for the thing that you're weighing. It's because of the distance between what you're weighing and the other end of the stick. We don't see these things now, but because of that, the weight of the stick itself, because of its length, is used, and it has markings on, is used as a machriya, as a scale, as a counterweight to the thing that you're weighing. As opposed to using the regular moznaim or mishkal, is when you use little pieces of weights, little weights, to put on a cup, right? That's what we were talking about the other day. This is that the length itself of the peles of the eight is a counterweight. It's another way of weighing things. Shasham shaklan is hadavah hanitam bayv arichas v'kayvet ha'eitz. And because of the length and the weight of the wood, umer chokai, and the distance from the thing that's being weighed, hu ha-machriyo, that's what allows it to function as a counterweight. That could be machriyo, the thing that you're weighing. So it's such a beautiful pshat that the Rebbe says. V'kach al yedei hamerirus shebenafshei. There is such a thing that a Jew, because of how far he feels from Hashem, because that feeling of distance and the feeling of his averus that weigh heavily upon him, like the heaviness of the other end of the stick that's so far from what's being weighed, and is heavy with the weight of the wood. So too, the Rebbe says, "Ayde mirius shebenafshei," through the bitterness of one's soul. I'll be chukami as Hashem, being so far from that which your whole life should be weighed against, where everything is measured by, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that feeling of distance from the machriya of life, from what is important in life, and what's the essence of life, causes the person to feel tzibrochen. Asher rachach mimenu betachlis, he feels that Hashem Baruch is so far away from me. Vayidei akiris harotzen mimashu takubo betchila. And the person then tries to uproot his rotzen, to tear himself away from that which is holding him back. From that rotzen that he's takubo betchila, that he's embedded in, that he's stuck in. He was stuck in a certain rotzen. And he can't pull himself out of that rotzen. He hasn't been able to pull himself out. But sometimes, when the person feels the weight, or the counterweight, of the life of being distant from Hashem, and he feels that he's at the end of his rope, or the end of his wood, meaning this piece of wood, but the distance is terrible, that is able to bring him to a point of mirochek davke Hashem nearly, mirochek davke. And to be able to tear himself away from that place that he's stuck in, that he's takuabo. And whom oires ahava rabbah el yoyne shalomalam hadas. And he's able to awaken within himself in a split second. Not following tam vadas, not with long and deep meditation, and not through all of the lengthy avoida, even in Torah mitzvahs. But, of course, he has to be shomer mitzvahs and so on. But he's able in a moment to change the balance of his life.
Not just a haspala, though.
He has to continue.
This mariris is really just the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not going to be. It's not sustainable. Just like with that feeling. No. Mm-hmm. Then it has to be. Mostly, it has to be tshuva tata, and it has to be. And it has to be Torah and mitzvahs and steady, consistent avodah. But the fact that the person sees that it's possible and he experienced it, so then he could try to change the daily balance between Tov and Ra in his life. And it's true, it's very hard to live in that state of harem on the top of a mountain. And you know, the air is very difficult to breathe up there. And it's very hard to stay on the top of a mountain. But if not for the mountaintop, so then you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't have a cheshek to be on the hilltop. It's true, it's very hard to sustain it. On Shabbos morning I was talking a little bit about that, the Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bitzalo. I was talking a little bit about that. What I was trying to say, although I realized I didn't express it properly, I didn't say it over well. Afterwards I thought of it much better. But that happens all the time. Afterwards I realized how I should have said it. But no, I said it to my wife better. Mm-hmm. So that Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu who said that we're going to build an Aron, and we have to build the Kalim and the Shechina is going to. So then Bezalel said, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says almost as an afterthought, and we're going to build a Mishkan in the order of Truma, right? That's why I spoke about Shabbos morning, and then we have to build a Mishkan. So Bezalel comes as Rabbi. That's not the usual. That's not how we do it. The minhag shel olam is you first have to build a place, a house, for panosa and a house and everything, and then you start with the aron and kalim. Later on, you make an aron and kalim. Then you bring the wife and family. You build, but first you have to. So the Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Oh, yeah, that's talking true. You're right." So we were talking Shabbos morning. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's havamin? Minhag shel olam is the minhag shel olam. There's a minhag of the world. The meaning of the world is that first you have to have a place, and then you work on it for a long time until you're able to afford to have a wife and family, and to have Aaron and the Kalim. That's the Seid HaOlam. Well, the Rambam said it even stronger, right? Balideya, intelligent, normal people, that's what they do. So what's a Taina Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, conceded that. He says, I know we first have to do that, and we have to go in order. And I know that you have to build a house first. And I understand that. And then after you have the whole thing, then you can bring in the light, the Aron, which is Or, and the Kalim. I understand that. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Havimin is that great ruach of idealism. And if you don't have that, Moshe Rabbeinu, in the end, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Beseder, I realize that you can't live on the mountaintop. You can't live on the mountaintop. And I realize that in order to get things done, we have to do it like Bezalel says. He's right. I'm asking. And we have to follow a certain Seder. I understand that. But what would we be without Moshe Rabbeinu? What would we be? It's Zayin Adar. What would we be without Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest level of Das. You know, it's a tiny, as I explained on Shabbos morning, the Rambam says that only people who are Mechus Das, only people who don't have any intelligence, their order is mixed up, and it's a Venahapechu, and the Venahapechu is so that they first want to get married right away, and then afterwards I'll worry about a panos, I'll worry about a house, that's fine for that. So the Rambam calls such people Mechus Das. People that don't have that, it's an hapach. But there's an Indian of Moshe Rabbeinu that the das is so high that it's not a tain of das, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is the middle of das, because it's adaloyada. And it's takiv in a hapach. There is such a thing that unless a person has that fire of the ideal, unless he's filled with that mountaintop, so it's true you can't live on the mountaintop. It's very hard to sustain that Inyan of Ahavim Pnimius Alev. But if you don't have that from time to time, then you don't have a cheshek for the hills either. You can't work on that either. You lose your cheshek. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, you're right. Lemaisa we have to do like Bezalel. It's true. And Lemaisa you have to follow a certain Seder. But once a year there's a time of Purim where things don't follow a Seder. And there's a reminder of something that is called, you know, the Mount Everest and Avoida, which transcends Tam Vidas. The whole Inyan of Purim is that it's not Alpi Tam Vidas. It's not Tam Vidas. And anybody that you meet that still on Purim, you know, like I know there was a guy years ago when we were in the Bungalow Colony when we were first married. So I was a Rebbe in the Bungalow Colony. There was another Rebbe there. That's from a certain yeshiva, and that yeshiva, they're very, very formal. They hold very strong to be very formal all the time. It's not my cup of tea, but they're good guys. So this Rebbe was always wearing, a necktie, even by the pool, because he wore a necktie and a jacket and everything. And the rest of the guys just said, why don't you make yourself a little bit, comfortable. He had to, because they're very big over there on their side. They'd be a certain way. And it was like, you felt just to be a human being, it's 98 degrees and humid. And what would happen if, God forbid, something happens to one of the children? You're supposed to jump into the water with your hat and your suit and your tie, and you have to take off your necktie, make yourself comfortable, No, he's not letting go. On Purim, when you meet the person like that on Purim, it gets you depressed. It ruins your Purim, right? The whole year it's hard to be civil such people. I mean, for me, maybe other people like that. But on Purim, such a person has to be sent out of the shul. Can't be civil. Like you have people, like those people, you have somebody on Purim that screams out, will everybody please quiet down? This is not proper decorum. The whole year is a timer. But anybody that says on a Purim, they carry him out, they tie him up, and they put him on the street. They say, what do you have a mission? Yeah. So he has a tiny. He says the place is not being run with das. And he said, but on Purim, that's the biggest mile of a Jew not to have das. The whole year long, you have to have das. The whole year long, you wear your necktie, and everything is like this, and prim and prop, and everything. But Purim is, come on. Purim is oddly odd that's higher than a place of tam v'das. And if a Jew doesn't have Purim once a year, it means... And that's why Zayin Adar was with Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. And the Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu with this week of Purim is very tied up together. It's the whole Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu's Das. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying there's something that's the highest Das is Adaloyada. Tachlis Hayidia Shaloy Neda. Tachlis Hayidia Shaloy Neda. The mountaintop. But it's true, Moshe Rabbeinu is masking that's not a way every day. You can't plan your life that way. A life is lived, we live our lives on the gvos of Torah and Mitzvahs and Avodah and Hizbeinanus and Tam, Vidas. It's true. That's how we live from day to day. Tam v'daz. Seichel. Seder. But there's such a thing that a Yid is able to do tshuva m'umka d'liba. Therefore the tshuva of Purim is the highest tshuva. The tshuva of Purim is the highest, highest tshuva there is. It's a tshuva of me'ahava, from the comes from ahava, which is pnimius ahava. Whereas we know that the other tshuvas are tshuvas, even though on Sukkot there's a pchina of this. But the tshuva of Yom Kippur, of Hashem Yom Kippur, is a tshuva of a year out of fear. It's a tshuva of tam v'daz. It is. But on Purim took place in somewhere that was so far away from Yerushalayim. Far away from Yerushalayim. And in a place, the name of Hashem is not even mentioned. That's how far away you feel. You can't find Hashem's name in your life on Purim. You can't find Hashem's, that's when Purim happened. We couldn't find Hashem's name in our lives. And who's the king? The king is Ahasuerus. The king is Ahasuerus. And Yidna is sitting by a Suda of Ahasuerus. And from that place, Merochek Davke Hashem Nirali. Merochek Davke, Estes Haste Aste Panai. Haman is Hamin Ha'Eitz, which is connected to this Eitz, a feeling distant from Hashem, the scale of the Pelas, that's a long piece of wood. That's exactly what Haman wanted to hang Mordechai in, a long piece of wood, right? A big piece of wood. And a Jew instead looks at that and says, "Hey, I'm so far away from the Bari Olam." And Davka Mirochek Hashem, nearly to come from that place where it looked like you were going to die, because Ahasuerus made a gezeirah that everybody was going to get killed. Every single man, woman, and child was going to get killed. We're all going to get killed. And from that place, Davke, we came out with Purim. Because of the tshuva mi'umke d'liba, in a second brought us to Ahava, the pnimius alev, that is higher than Tam V'das, therefore on Purim, it's Ad lo yada. It's higher than Tam V'das. Says Akasha, that there's a Haman in the world. There's a Haman in the world. No. There's a Haman in the world. I was talking to the children last night very late, because they're obviously very upset about the terrible, terrible chayshuch that came upon our community yesterday, in Shabbos and yesterday. It's a Haliya little boy that left the world in such a sudden and shocking way. And the children, and I'm sure many, many children throughout the neighborhood, everywhere, wherever here, B'chol Medinas HaMelech, when they hear about that, they heard about it, it's something, it's very scary for them, and they're wondering, already I had a few phone calls, and then one of the Chavarim this morning asked me something, and already I know that I got from a place in Brooklyn to come to give a talk on this Indian, and when a person has in his life tasted, just for a moment, has smelled the air, what the air is like on the top of this mountain, when a person has had a whiff of that air, then the kashishness can kasha. Of course the children didn't done. The children have to be helped, there's no shayla. But for adults, for those of us who are Shrei Metayim Mitzvahs. So there's a very important chevra that, yes, I'm supposed to go there in 2 weeks. But delays very, because they're good people and doing a lot of it. But they asked to go speak about, on the subject of how to be able to continue on. I forgot what the title is, and I don't want to get them angry at me, because they might hear about them saying something about like this. But I'm not saying it in a negative way, because there's a need for it. But how to deal with the uncertainties. They were talking like with finances, how people should be able to handle the uncertainties of our times. And then what more frightening uncertainty? Forget about the stock market. It's a kleinigkeit, money. The uncertainty that a child's thinking that this little boy went to bed one night and he didn't get up the next morning. He's finished with his parasha. So every child has this machshava. Wow. Naila, they heard about this accident or that accident, or some people are sick, and that's hard enough to live with. But then when you hear that a child goes to sleep and he doesn't get up the next morning, so then what does that mean for my Kriya Shema Alamita tonight? Like, where does this leave me? And that's very, very normal for a child to think that way. And what could be said, what could be taught. So there are people that are mevinim, that are professionals. We have a very chashuv tzaddikus in the shul, that she's a big mevin in this inyan of how to help the children. She's going to talk to their teachers, that the boys are coming back to school today. And in Bechlal, all the children have to talk. And I was talking to the children last night, very, very late, and they were up and worried about all this and crying. And the all I was davening is that the Baruch Hashem should give us kaiches, because there's nothing al pitam bedas that can take a person out of that. Yesterday when I was at the Levaya, so the only thing I could say to my friend, the father of the boy, was that I just put my hand on his cheek and I just said to him one thing. I said, and I hope I know that he understood it, because he understands these things. And I said to him, now's when all the chassidus kicks in. It should be with hatzlacha. That's all I said. Your whole life you're learning chassidus, you're learning pnimiyas haTorah. It should work for you. What else is there? Meaning, you're a Jew that has stood on the mountaintop. So you don't need theology 001. So I have to go to give a speech in Borough Park about how to contend with the difficult economy. So all I want to do is go to the top of the mountain with all the rest of our people, and we should all scream out, Shema Yisrael, Shema Kinesh, Shema Chad. If you're in that place, it's not a kasha. If you're not in that place, there's no teretz. You understand? If you're not in that place, there's no teretz. So you're going to come to try to say this svara and that svara for all the svaras and the umas ha'olam. If you're not in that place, then there's no teretz. It's always been that way. For my parents, Auschwitz and Mauthausen is not a kasha. There are Jews who never smelled the stench of that rotting flesh, and for them there's no teretz. They've read 1,000 books. They've read 1,000 books about God and the good and why good people suffer and bad people. For those people with all their bichlech, with all their books and their volumes, there's no teretz. There's no answer. And for my parents, there's never been a kasha. And for other Jews that we've met who are made of that material, who drank emunah in their mother's milk, you understand? They drank emunah, but us, our generation, speeches. How are we supposed to continue being Jewish with the stock market falling? It's a big kasha. It's a big kasha. And this mental health professional, a very chashuv person, conveyed to me that she's talking to a very chashuv tzaddik. She conveyed to me on the Shabbos after this news came out. She said, "So I said to her, what are you going to do? You have to talk to the children that they're going to be afraid to go to sleep. That machshavas." It's a terrible story. She said, that's one thing. And there's another thing, is that there are a lot of people in the community who are saying, so this is what she's getting in conversations, that Chabad is cursed. There's some sort of a curse on Chabad. So I was driving the car at that time, and I'm telling you that I had such a chalisa dust. My wife didn't know what happened. We were together in the car. I said, Chabad's the most blessed people. It's a kasha that there's tzaris, that something's happened in the world of Chabad. So then, tell these people, what about the Jewish people? What do you mean? That's what the goyim say about us. Because Jews have suffered in history, therefore we're the most cursed people. How could a Jew talk that way? That's what it means to be cursed? To be maisa nefesh for kutshabichu v'raisa? And that there's tzaris in Klal Yisrael? That's a kasha on Chabad? Why don't you ask a kasha on the whole Jewish people? Our enemies say about us that we're cursed. And that's the raya. That God has abandoned us, right? And that he's taken instead Yassel HaPanja, the one who's hanging on the cross, because the Jews are cursed. Well, how do you see the Jews are cursed? Who else goes through a Holocaust? Well, it's after they put us through the Holocaust, but still a kasha there. Jews go through Holocaust and inquisitions and pogroms, all at the hands of the church that's reinstating galochim. That's reinstating galochim who don't believe in the Holocaust, yeah? It's a kasha. So now there are Jews who are asking, Maybe Chabad is cursed. Chabad is cursed. The only curse is when a person has such a katness of moichin to think that, God forbid, that what's good and what's bad is measured by whether or not the car goes through a window and whether or not the child leaves the world. That's the measure of good and bad. That's how weak the world is. Mela, the world says about us that we're cursed. The Nevi'im didn't say that about us. The Nevi'im said that we're the most blessed people in the world. V'nivichu b'chol mishpachas, the Baruch Hu himself said it about us. So there's tzaris. What's going to be? If a person was never on the mountaintop, it's a kasha. It's a kasha. Tzarech Ian. It's a big man nishtana halayla azem kal halaylas. Those people have kashas. They live in a kasha. But it doesn't come out, because if nobody died that day that they know, okay, maybe somebody died here, there, but at least nobody on my block died and nobody from my shul died. So then they don't think of the kasha. Mela, they don't need a teretz. They don't need a teretz. When somebody dies, hayatachim, could it be that someone died? What do you mean hayatachim that someone died? Someone died. But a child, an innocent child, yeah. Never heard of such a thing? You never heard of such a thing? I told the children, your grandparents lived through millions of children dying. And I said something, I'll tell you something, before the Holocaust, before that whole parsha of Haman fell upon us, you don't think that, you don't know what it was like, that in every home, ein bayis ein shamayis, that there were children that died when they were, that's how they lived. What, infant mortality and children dying and women dying in childbirth? How many men were dragging around in those years, dragging around without wives, that their wives died having a baby? And the children ended up here, and baby father couldn't handle it, and he gave the baby over to this one, to that one. It was a ma'isa m'chal yom. Ma'isa m'chal yom. But when you're a person that when you had a whiff of that air on the mountaintop, it's not a kash. But if your whole life is in the valley, then there's no terrors. So it's true that to live with Pnimius Ahava, it's a very, very big madrig. It's it comes from the Dekuda Salev, and it's the Tkiya Shofar. And after Rosh Hashanah, then things go back to C minor. After Yontif, so everybody tzitters by Har Sinai, everybody's by, it's the same thing yesterday, and it's going to go shiva, but it's a pachet, chapta pachet. And I was talking last night to the children about, because my daughter learned that, shuv yamechel, if maybe sascha, a person that life should do tshuva. She says, how could I even have in my head such silly things like, you know, that I want to get a dress, or I want to go with my friends to, you know, to shopping or to have a nice time. It's ridiculous to even think about these things. Such narishkeit. And so I said to her two things. I said, by tomorrow it's not going to be narishkeit anymore. But right now it's narishkeit. Tomorrow it'll be important again. I said, but let's talk. We're talking tonight. So let's talk before tomorrow. I said, the Baruch Shalom has nachas when his children have some narishkeit. As long as they remember the tachlis. I said, when Chazal told us to remember the day of death, they weren't telling us to become morbid, depressed people, to think of death, to live with that. They were telling us to be mindful that life is not forever. To be mindful of it. To remember. And when you remember that, when it's always in the back of your head, so then, You go shopping with your friends. Have a nice time. And live. But also live at yourself, having a nice time. And learn how to live at the world that's forgetting that there's a tachlis. Comedy, humor, is a very precious thing. Ma'at sichlus yikara, what Rav Kook wrote about, and the Rashab from Lubavitch, other tzaddikim, the whole maimer of the Rashab. Ma'at sechlus yikara. The kuntres remind me based Hashem from the Mishab. Ma'at sechlus yikara, a little precious silliness. That's Purim. A little precious silliness. But a person has to be mindful that life is not forever. But it shouldn't take away from you the Simchas HaChaim. Adrava, when you live with that machshava, then it makes life much more precious, and you have a much bigger Simchas HaChaim. How do we help our children to face these terrible tragedies that take place in life and find out? We help our children by being great Jews. That's our avodah. And when they see that we're like that, I know that I look at my parents, and from my parents I take all the hiskaskas. I always think how my father and my mother, how they deal with these things, how they react to these things. That's what I think of. If our children see us as slobbering, weak babies that don't have amuna, then that's what they'll become. Except the next generation, you know, it's squared. They see us like that. So one of my girls said that she was by somebody, and the mother was crying the whole day, and she couldn't come out of her room. So I said, that's not a mahalach in being a Jew. I'm sorry, it's not a mahalach. I'm not saying that it's not, I don't feel bad, and she's not a great person. No, that's not a mahalach. You look at your mother, that's the mahalach. Mahalach of a mamin, which is the mahalach of the parents of this show, of Amunah. To close yourself off, to go in the room, that the children don't know where the mother is all day, that where's my mother, where's my mother? That the mother can't come out of the room to take care of the children? That's Emunah? It's not. His chaskas. But when we saw that by our parents, that last generation, we saw by the parents, they were rock-solid people. They didn't read books about the Holocaust. They were in the Holocaust. They didn't watch movies about suffering. They suffered. So the Jewish people are the most cursed people in the world. The Jewish people are the most blessed people in the world. Because the Jewish people don't have kashas on the Bari Olam. They don't have kashas on the Bari Olam. He's bigger than us. So ma'al mitam v'das. But if a person's whole life is tam v'das, then they're going to have what? So now we're going to have a Yom Iyun on babies dying? This is going to be a Yom Iyun. Is that what we're going to have? A Yom Iyun on the stock market, the crashing, and I was someplace by evening, tells me this is worse than the worst depression. I said, the depression is how you feel. The Goyim called it the depression. Right? That's what they called it. Is that right? They called it the depression. It was 1929, I think. The Great Depression. They said, oh, depression is a feeling. That the stock market, that you lost every penny that you ever made, that's the mitzvah in life. Whether you'll be depressed about it, that's not. The Great Depression, that's up to you. There's no such thing in the history of a Jew called the Great Depression. We've had more depressing things than losing money. But the Goyim, that's the Great Depression. That's the Great Depression. That's the Great Depression by the Goyim. The Jews know what it means, Tsaris. But how you feel, whether you're a blessed person or you're a cursed person, how you feel, how you look at yourself, how you look at other people, other Yidden, how you look at Klal Yisrael, how you look at Chabad Hasidim, because this particular year there have been these inyanim that have hurt the Chevra and Chabad. And all of us, but I'm saying that have affected them directly. So, therefore, that's a curse. Who talks like that? But the Baruch Shalom says that we're the most blessed people in the world. That's it. He paskened that we're blessed. So apparently, a cursing or a blessing is not a matter of whether a baby dies or whether the stock market falls. That's not what determines whether or not we're blessed or we're cursed. We're blessed because we're Jews, and we're chelik l'kom yamal mamish. And all the malachim shemaim bend down to hear our davening. and are mekane and are jealous of our avodah. That's what it means to be blessed. And when a Jew is maisa nefesh for other Jews, he's a blessed person. And when he's maisa nefesh in the avodah Hashem, he's a blessed person. So now we're going to have all kinds of conferences and meetings what to do about this. What's there to do about it? If the children see that we're great people and that we're maminim, and they don't see that we get all worked up spending day and night talking about money. Day and night, money, money, that's all everybody talks about, money and how to spend it, what to get, money, everything money. They see that we're not, then we see that our Indian being Jews is the most important thing to us, then we take them up to the mountaintop, and then the children will be able to face whatever they have to face. Because there are a lot of things in life that are not pashut, and the children have to be strong, and they'd be strong if we're strong. That's why I have such a low tolerance for these kind of questions. Whenever I feel like, you know, like my best friend is being questioned, and my father is being questioned, I'm not sorry for it. Emunah is to be maminim. Maminim means it doesn't go the way that you want. Period. It doesn't go the way that you want. So from where are we going to take his chaskas? Take his chaskas. I stopped in last night at dinner. I see people were able to walk around and smile at the dinner. And they were, you know what? It's an amazing thing. I couldn't be masochah that any, I was only able to do it for 5 minutes to give a mouth stuff because I had to go to a few other places. But I didn't think anybody would be able to eat. I'm telling you the truth. I couldn't eat all day yesterday. I didn't put a thing in my mouth all day yesterday until we finally got home from where we were going. It's because after I went to another dinner in Williamsburg, then we had to go to Shivala later in Queens. It was already 10:45, and then my wife and I sat down. I had a little something to drink, and she ate something. We had some soup, finished, gemarna. But you know, it's an interesting thing. The child is still warm in the grave, and there's still, there was a smorgasbord. Can essen. We can do essen. We can eat over here. That's how a human being is. That's how a human being is. The Baruch Shalom gives each and every one of us kaychas. And the kaychas of guf are very, very strong. And the kaychas and the shama, as we're learning in the Bilvavi, we have to be ma'oire, the kaychas and the shama. Or else it becomes a thing that you're sad a little bit and you're worried about your own children. Maybe you don't almost feel what other people are feeling. To feel the pain of other people is a big mitzvah. It's a big avodah to feel what other people are feeling. And I told other children this night. I said, it's good that it's good to feel how terrible it is that a parent comes in the morning to see such a thing. That's important for you to feel that. And I'm not stopping you from crying about that. You should cry. Because that's what it means to have a Jewish heart. You think about that. And you think about it. You don't become obsessed with it, but you have to think about it. And I'm not telling you not to cry. I'm telling you should cry over that. And it's good to cry over that. But when it comes to questions of Amunah, when it comes to why is it in the world, and when it comes to how can I go to sleep tonight, how does this impact me? So that we have to stop crying. That's not for crying. No, that we don't cry. We cry another Yidden. What does it mean for mother to? No, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Emunah. But we don't want that. We'd like to have our children go to school, and that they're going to give them a class. They'll take them and they'll put them in their room, and they'll talk to them, and they'll make them feel everybody better. No, it's not. But the children are left with kashas. The children have kashas. Because they're children. So how do we help them with their kashas? That's the kasha, right? I mean, the enough intelligent people to know how to tell them different things to move them on. But the kasha. So the Baruch Shalom loves us, and how does he do stuff like that? It's a kasha. But that child never did anything bad. So it's such a kasha. So we have to be the kind of people. You have to be the kind of people who, when our children think about us, it takes away their kashas. That's hard. That doesn't, that you don't cover with your tuition. You understand that? It's not in the tuition. To be the kind of people who when our children think of us, the kashas go away, like when Yosef Tzadik thought of Yaakov Avinu. When Yosef Tzadik had a kasha, he remembered his father, and then the kasha was his kasha. That's what we have to be. That our children should look at us and think of us, and it takes away their kashas. It's not vayda on us to be such people, to be big maminim. And that's not just a speech, and it's not one day. And it's not when, God forbid, something bad happens. That it means day to day. They see, what do we care about? What do we think about? And a person's whole life is, if he sees it's money and these and yonim and that, and he gets all angry if it covered and other things, and it didn't go his way, and he's all upset, and the whole, and he has to have it this way, and she has to have it that way, and everything is all these havalim. So then when our children think of us, they think of weakness. They think of weakness. They don't think of strength. They think of weakness, and they become weak. And that's what happens from generation to the next. From one to the next. I mentioned to a couple of chevra earlier that I remember that the World Trade Center. You see, it's only a few years after the World Trade Center. And where, what? What's left from that? What's left from that? What's left from that is that we have to make sure to treat terrorists nice. You remember when it was the day after the Maisa, there was a certain behirus, there was a certain strength in behirus that America had. Because it's not emunah. It's not emunah in what's right. It's not emunah in the Bari Olam. It's a feeling of sadness and pity. It's a weak, pathetic, slobbering sadness. That's all. It's not his chaskis and amuna. And if you saw the very after a very short time, nobody even understood what the president's talking about. The president has a shaykhis to such an thing. And they didn't know. And when it came down, the whole thing with the World Trade Center, how could it be such a thing? I said to Fichu that I was talking to my father, and my father was not in this ball for me. He was not in this ball for me. Oh, Olam Avos b'chalineinu. The Malcham Avos is in New York now. It used to be the Malcham Avos was in Eretz Yisrael. The Malcham Avos is, bad places, scary places, the Malcham Avos, or even in New York. All right, you stay away from certain neighborhoods, there's some Malcham Avos, bad neighborhoods. But five towns, Flatbush, Muncie, there's no Malcham Avos over here. No one dies over here. This is the fountain of youth. Eternal youth. You live forever in the five towns and in Muncie and in Borough Park and Flatbush, right? How could it be? You know how it could be? You know the difference is that those Jews that went through that, like my father and others, Ogazon Sandish, be well, that my father never saw the Malachim Avos go away from him. The Malachim Avos has been with him from the time he's in the world, wherever he went. And every day that the Malachim Avos doesn't touch him, it's a great day. It's a great day. That's how I was raised. That feeling that my parents had every second that my sister and I were alive. I was talking to someone about this last night at one of the simchas we had. Like now, the kid was wearing a hat and then he stopped wearing a hat, or he wasn't wearing a hat and he starts wearing a hat, so parents can get like all twisted. In my parents' generation, you wear, you don't wear. It wasn't like that with everybody, I understand, but it was, you're alive. That's good. We'll work with that. You're alive. Every single time that I went into my house, from my mother and from my father, I felt that like they were surprised, and it was a simcha to see me, not that, oh, here he is, he's home. What do we do with him for the next 4 hours? Put on the television. Is there a video? Oh no, Uncle Moshe, kosher. Get the kid out of my hair. Leave him over by somebody for 2 weeks. when I would go away to school in the morning, it was like my mother holding me, and it was a whole thing. It's a clear sense of the preciousness of life. And at any moment, it's not, it might not be there. It's not coming to you. But in our generation, it's coming to us. So they're going to be now have to have meetings and all kinds of conferences. What do we do about this? How are we going to deal with this? How are we going to deal with the Malach HaMavis? How are we going to deal with the Malach HaMavis? What do you have to deal with the Malach HaMavis? The Baruch Shalom needs to take care of the Malach HaMavis. We can deal with the Malach HaMavis. It's only whether you get depressed or not. The Great Depression. That's up to you. You can't get rid of the Malach HaMavis. Doctors and scientists are working hard to make life better and longer, and Hashem's will gave Kaychus to do these things. It's good. It's gewaldig. They're doing beautiful things at Kol HaKavod. But how, whether there's the Great Depression or not, you lost your money? Whether the Great Depression is not? No. That's up to you whether there's a Great Depression. Somebody passed away? You can't do anything about that. What are you going to do? That's not up to you whether someone's alive or dead. But whether or not there's going to be a Great Depression, that's your opinion. That's when you find out whether it kicks in. All the stuff that you learn, whether it kicks in, whether it's real, or whether it's diburim. None of us should ever be tested, Khalil. Should never ever be tested, and everything should be good. And we should see only chesedim, gluyim, and gemurim. Each and every Jew in the world should only see chesedim, gluyim, and gemurim. But the avoid is an avoid that'll at least give us an opportunity every now and then to smell something at the mountaintop. So then we can live on the hills, and we can even make it through the valleys. And our children will have his chaskis, and we'll be able to make it to the finish line, which Hashem should be very soon.